Yeah, a little bit of game show music. I am Cy Kellett, your game show host. It's time for the Catholic Answers Game Show. Gather the children, wake up Grandma and Grandpa, get that pencil and paper because you can play along at home. We've got two contestants and we've got our guest, Carla Broussard, apologist here at Catholic Answers, who always makes it so much fun to play the game show. Carla Broussard, thanks for coming back for another hour.
Hey, Cy, thanks for having me back. I always look forward to the game show. It's a lot of fun, and I'm sure this will be no different.
We'll have a good time. We'll see if it's no different, because with you on the other side of the country, and then our contestants now join us via video, we'll see how all the technology works out. But I'm sure it's going to be fine, but it might not. It might be unusual. Let's put it that way. I will go over the rules in just a moment. But first, let us meet our contestants. Our first contestant is Chet. Hi, Chet. You there with us?
I am here.
Chet, thank you very much for being with us. Have you listened to the game show before? Do you know the rules and all that?
I think I've heard it once or twice.
All right. Well, we usually start by asking, where are you and what's interesting about you? So, Chet, where are you and what's interesting about you?
So I'm in Houston, Texas, and I'm a parishioner at the only Dominican parish in Houston, which is Holy Rosary. I teach RCIA there, and we give a Thomistic spin to RCIA. So, for example, we go over the five proofs of God.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's very cool. First of all, thanks for doing the RCIA preparation for people. That's wonderful and so important. So Holy Rosary Parish, because, of course, the Dominicans, so they say, are the founders of the Rosary. So thanks, Chet. We're glad you're here. Chuck is contestant two. Chuck, where are you and what's interesting about you?
I'm in Round Lake Beach, Illinois, and I'm a retired machinist. After 40 years, I taught confirmation class at my parish, Prince of Peace, in Lake Villa, Illinois, for 18 years. And I now work as a custodian part-time for our fantastic school at Prince of Peace. And so I've been doing that for about 3 years now. And I totally enjoy it because I get to go in there as the kids are leaving. I don't have to put up with all the noise from them.
That's what a lovely sentiment, Chuck. Thanks. Also doing the prep, though. Thank you. It's just wonderful. I'm glad we got the both of you on here. I hope the questions are hard enough. I have to say, Chet and Chuck, this is the greatest difficulty I have with the game show is I write the questions and I never know. I never quite seem to get it right. They're either too easy or too hard. And I think I went too hard this time, Carlo. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think I might have?
Well, I don't know. With Chet and Chuck and their ministries and what they're doing, they might be up to this. As okay. Aquinas would say, it is fitting.
And, of course, a great Dominican. So
that's right.
All right. I'll tell you what. I'm going to go through the rules, and then I will ask you, Chet and Chuck, if the rules make sense to you, and then we'll start playing. First of all, there are three rounds to the Catholic Answers game show. The last round is called Your Final Judgment, and that is reserved for the winner of rounds one and rounds two. So if you make it through rounds one and two with the most points, you go on to your final judgment. Rounds one and two are multiple choice. Each question has three possible answers. You just pick the answer, and we tell you if you got it right or not. At the end of round one, we'll add up all the points and then see who's ahead, just for fun. And then at the end of round two, we'll add up all the points and see who's going on to their final judgment. Does that all make sense to both of you? You all clear on that?
Yep.
Isn't there something like a lifeline? Yep.
Oh, there are two lifelines. All right, Chet. Yes, there are two lifelines. Actually, we call them after lifelines. And they are, you can ask Carlo to just make it a 50-50. Instead of three answers to choose from, he'll take one wrong answer out. And he usually takes the easiest one out. I don't know why he does that, but he usually leaves you with the two tough ones. And then the other lifeline is you can just ask Carlo to give you the correct answer. Now, after you've used the lifeline, it's gone. And all the lifelines are gone for your final judgment. There are no after lifelines for your final judgment. So is that all clear to everybody? You got two lifelines. You got the 50-50. And just give me the right answer for the first two rounds. All right?
Sounds good.
I do believe that he has to give you the answer in Pig Latin when he gives you the answer.
Chuck, if I feel bad for you because Chet has seen this before. Chet has paid attention. That is correct.
It's 12 times.
You have? Okay. So if...
I've listened to a lot of them, so...
If Carlo gives you the correct answer, he will be required to do so in Pig Latin. So,
yeah, and that's unfortunate, Si, because it's been a while since we've done the game show.
I know you're out of practice.
I'm kind of out of practice, man. Let me get my mouth warmed up here.
All right. Chet is contestant number one. Chuck is contestant number two. That just is based on who we got on the line first, and it only really matters if we come to the tiebreaker. That means if we're tied after rounds one and two, I will get out the tiebreaker boxes, and Chet will have to pick box A or box B. So let us begin. I have to tell you one other rule. Please let me read the question twice because people do play along at home, and we want to make sure that they have a chance to hear and think through the question to get their answer. All right, Chet and Chuck, you ready?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, let's start with Chet. Chet, your question number one of round one. Which of these happens at the Chrism Mass? A, the reconsecration of a sacred space that has been desecrated. B, the blessing of the altar of a new church. Or C, the blessing of the holy oils that will be used in parishes throughout the year. Once again, Chet, which of these happens at a Chrism Mass? A, the reconsecration of a sacred space that has been desecrated. B, the blessing of the altar of a new church. Or C, the blessing of the holy oils that will be used in parishes throughout the year.
So that would be answer C, it's the blessing of the holy oils.
You are correct.
Si, I think that might have been one of those super easy ones.
Was that too easy? Really?
I'll take it.
Chuck's thinking to himself, man, I wish I had that one.
Sorry. Oh, no, the next one's so hard. All right. We started out easy. I apologize for that.
But that's okay. You got some tough ones coming up, so you're going to redeem yourself, Si.
Yeah. All right. So, Chuck, here's your first question of round one. Let me read it twice, if you would, Chuck. Which of the following is required for a major exorcism? A, the possessed person must accept baptism. B, the possessed person must go to confession. Or C, neither of the above. Once again, Chuck, which of the following is required for a major exorcism? A, the possessed person must accept baptism. B, the possessed person must go to confession. Or C, neither of the above.
I believe that would be C, neither of the above.
Could you at least pause? Don't make it look like it's so easy.
Hey,
come
man,
on, man.
You gave both Chet and Chuck a nice ease into the game show,
really?
Building up that confidence going through it. it's interesting that Code of Canon Law does specify what is required. No one can perform exorcisms legitimately upon the possessed unless he has obtained special and express permission from the local ordinary. And then two, the local ordinary is to give this permission only to a presbyter who has piety, knowledge, prudence, and integrity of life. So there are some conditions required for a major exorcism, but the two that you listed are not, as Chuck rightfully said.
So you don't have to be a Christian to have an exorcism from a Catholic priest. Is that what you're saying, Carl? No, you don't have to.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Chet, here is question number two of round one. Chet, which of the following is a cardinal virtue? A, charity. B, prudence. C, sanguinity. Once again, Chet, which of the following is a cardinal virtue? A, charity. B, prudence. C, sanguinity. Take your time. It's a radio show. People love long periods of silence. Chet, have no worries about that.
I'm going to have Carlo do a 50-50.
50-50, Carlo.
Yeah.
All right. Gosh. Okay. I will eliminate charity.
Don't eliminate charity because you need charity for salvation, Carlo. Oh, all right. He's eliminating the answer, charity. He's still got charity in his heart. Which of the following is a cardinal virtue, Chet? B, prudence, or C, sanguinity?
Yeah, it's prudence.
That, my friends, was a manifestation of charity. By eliminating charity, all right?
And I exhibited prudence.
There you go, brother. Absolutely. Good job.
This is a great counsel.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, so charity is a theological virtue, which is infused, prudence being the cardinal, something that is infused with sanctifying grace, but a virtue that one can obtain without grace and on a natural level.
Yeah.
Anything on sanguinity?
Feeling cheerful.
Feeling cheerful. All right. Not your feelings are not a virtue. All right. Well, I think we better take the break, and then we'll do question two for Chuck. Chuck, I hope you can hang on a quick second. We got to take the break now. We'll be right back with more of the Catholic Answers Game Show on Catholic Answers Live.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily Mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church, on the web at Magnificat.com.
The EWTN On Demand platform features 50 new podcasts every week, as well as an ever-expanding library of audio and video content. For Catholics who want to learn more about their faith, simply using their mobile device, computer, or TV, your favorite EWTN programs are available 24/7. Visit EWTN.com and click On Demand. EWTN is the global Catholic network.
Welcome back to the Catholic Answers Game Show. I am Cy Kellett, your game show host. Our special guest is Carlo Broussard. Chet and Chuck are our contestants, one in Texas, one in Illinois, and we are in the midst of round one. I believe this is Chuck's question. Chuck, you're up, right?
Yeah.
All right, Chuck, here's your question number two from round one. What is the Catholic term for the teaching office constituted by the Pope and the bishops in union with the Pope? A, magisterium. B, hierarchy. C, council. Once again, Chuck, what is the Catholic term for the teaching office constituted by the Pope and the bishops in union with the Pope? A, magisterium. B, hierarchy. C, council.
I believe it would be A.
Wow.
And you would be correct. That is right. Yeah, for our listeners out there, if they want to read up on what the Catechism has to say about the magisterium and the role of the magisterium in relation to the Word of God and divine revelation, they can check out paragraphs 84 through 86, right around that area where it talks about the magisterium as the teaching office of the Church.
All right. I can see we're coming into a couple scripture questions. So, Chet, we will. This is your last question of round one, and then we will add up the points when we are done and see where we stand going into round two. Chet, which gospel begins with the words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God"? Is it A, Matthew, B, Mark, or C, John? Once again, which gospel begins with the words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God"? Is it A, Matthew, B, Mark, or C, John?
So that would be the Gospel of John, C.
I realized that was not a very hard question as I was reading. For some reason, that seemed harder at home when I was writing it, I guess. Got anything on that, Carlo?
Nothing on that, my friend.
Okay, all right, on we go. I hope this one is easy as well, Chuck. Name the wives of the 12 apostles. No, not really. That's not really the question. All right, here's the last question of round one, Chuck. In which gospel do we find the Sermon on the Mount, including the Beatitudes? A, Matthew. B, Mark. or C, Luke? Once again, in which gospel do we find the Sermon on the Mount, including the Beatitudes? Is it A, Matthew, B, Mark, or C, Luke?
I'm thinking that's Luke.
Is that going to be your answer, or are you just thinking?
Yeah, that's my answer.
Matthew. Yeah. Now, Cy, that's a
kind
tough
of
one.
I know, because the Sermon on the Plain is in Luke.
The Sermon on the Plain is in Luke 6, 20 through 49. And there are, I think, four of those maybe eight Beatitudes that Luke does record. And scholars are in disagreement, and they debate as to whether the Sermon on the Plain in Luke's gospel is the same event as the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's gospel. Some say they are the same, and they can reconcile the two apparent differences between the two, and others will say they're two distinct events. So that's a bit of a tricky one.
Sorry about that one. I didn't think about that. I should have made John the other option. But I think they're two separate events, and I'm going to tell you why, Carlo, because in my studies of the scripture, I have noticed that a mount and a plane are exact opposite things.
Yeah. So, however, you could go up a little ways and there be a plateau or a plain up on the mountain and then a further ascendancy up the mountain.
Oh.
So you could have a plain of some sort,
a plateau
on a mountain. Some have suggested that. Yeah. But I get your point. Yeah.
All right. We're going into round two. Can the supercomputer crunch the numbers right now? And I believe the supercomputer, also named Edgar, says 2 points for Chuck, 3 points for Chet. All right, here we go. Round two, once again. Now it becomes ridiculously hard, I think. All of a sudden, the questions become unbearably hard. All right.
That's all right. It's equal here. It's both for Chet and for Chuck. The two difficult questions coming up, it's going to be equal.
All right, Chet, you are first. Here's your first question of round two. Monophysitism was condemned by the church because it taught A, that Jesus Christ had only one nature, divine, rejecting the idea of two distinct natures, divine and human, or B, said that Christ was one person with two natures, one divine and one human, or C, said that Christ only became the Son of God at his baptism. Monophysitism was condemned by the church because it taught A, that Jesus Christ had only one nature, divine, rejecting the idea of two natures, divine and human. B, said that Christ was one person with two natures, one divine and one human. Or C, said that Christ only became the Son of God at his baptism.
So I would say that would be A, the heresy that Jesus only had one nature.
Wow.
That was harder to read than it was the answer.
It sure was, right? Yeah, man. Great job, Chet. That's right. The Council of Chalcedon condemned monophysitism in 451 on the basis of Pope Leo the Great's 449 declaration, where he defined that within Christ, there were two natures united in the one person, those two natures being divine and human. B, the idea that Christ was one person with two natures, that was defined at the Council of Ephesus in 431 in response to Nestorianism. And then C, Christ only became the Son of God at his baptism, that's known as adoptionism, which was excluded at the Council of Nicaea in its teaching that Jesus was homoousios with the Father, mm-hmm. and that is, he's equal to the Father in virtue of the divine nature for all eternity.
Nice job, Chet. Chuck, here's your first question of round two. Manichaeism was rejected by the church mostly because it taught that all physical elements are divine. A, all physical elements are divine, or B, only spiritual elements are good and material elements are evil, or C, the validity of sacraments depended on the moral character of the clergy administering them. Once again, Chuck, Manichaeism was rejected by the church mostly because it taught that A, all physical elements are divine, or B, only spiritual elements are good and material elements are evil, or C, the validity of the sacraments depends on the moral character of the clergy administering them?
I think I'm going to have Carlo remove one of the wrong answers.
Okay. All right, I'm going to remove C. The validity of sacraments depended on the moral character of the clergy administering them.
So did Manichaeans believe A, that all physical elements are divine, or B, only spiritual elements are good and material elements are evil?
I'm going to say that they believe in A.
Yeah, that would be pantheism, right? Of the idea that all material reality, all physical things are divine. The Manichaeans believed only spiritual things were good and all of material stuff was evil, coming from a good God and a bad God, respectively. So,
okay. All right, question number two of round two. This one is for you, Chet. Catholics believe sacraments are A, symbolic, B, not symbolic, C, invisible signs of God's grace. Once again, Catholics believe that sacraments are A, symbolic, B, not symbolic, or C, invisible signs of God's grace.
So I'm going to go with A. You didn't say symbolic only, so it's an outward sign and it is visible.
Boom! Nailed it.
Yeah, that's some good reasoning there, Chet. Kudos to you, my friend. Yeah, the Catechism of the Catholic Church in paragraph 774 talks about the term sacramentum and how that's used for the sacraments. And the Latin term sacramentum emphasizes the visible sign of the hidden reality of salvation. And that hidden reality is indicated by the term mysterium. But sacramentum emphasizes the visible signification of the sacrament. So it would not be a sacrament if it did not have symbolic value.
Yeah, I think a lot of people at home probably got that one wrong, though, because we're used to defending the sacraments as more than merely symbols. But that doesn't mean they're not symbols.
That is correct. I was just giving a talk last night on the Holy Eucharist at a Theology on Tap in Pawhuska, Oklahoma. And that was one of the things I always try to emphasize with folks when I'm speaking, that we're trying to respond to the view that the Eucharist is merely, only a symbol. That's what we reject, while at the same time acknowledging that the Eucharist does have symbolic value, because that's why Jesus chose bread. Bread represents nourishment. His flesh is the nourishment for our soul.
All right, boy, Chet, killing it, just killing it, one after another. Chuck, here's question number two of round two for you. Chuck, the Catholic Church, A, rejects direct confession. I'm going to get this right. Once again, the Catholic Church, A, rejects direct confession of sins to God. B, encourages direct confession of sins to God. Or C, believes only mortal sin offends God. Once again, the Catholic Church, A, rejects direct confession of sin to God. B, encourages direct confession of sins to God. Or C, believes only mortal sin offends God.
I'm going to go with B.
Good.
You are correct.
Good job, Chuck. Absolutely. The church does encourage direct confession of sins to God. And anytime we sin, we immediately ask for God's forgiveness. If it's venial sin, then the guilt of that venial sin will be remitted by virtue of that act of contrition. If it's the guilt of mortal sin, ordinarily that guilt is remitted in the sacrament of reconciliation, but it's still important to confess even directly to God, whether venial or mortal. Upon committing the sin and our awareness of it, we need to make an act of contrition and repent immediately.
again, this is a question where I think a lot of people need to be reminded that they say, well, why can't I just go directly to God to ask for forgiveness?
Yeah, that question often assumes that you can't, right? Well, obviously, no. We say we definitely do. In fact, the Catechism of the Catholic Church in paragraph 1458 states, without being strictly necessary, confession of everyday faults in confession is strongly recommended. The implication being is that you can confess your everyday faults without the sacrament of reconciliation. The implication being direct confession to God.
Both of you, great on those two, because I thought that they were a little bit tricky, but they didn't trick you at all. But I will remind you, you do whatever you want with the following information. You both have a lifeline that will involve Carlo having to say things in Pig Latin, and this is your last question of round two. So you do what you want with that information, but you have that. Chet, here's your last question of round two. Oh, no, this is not your last question of round two. I hear music. We got to take a very quick break. It's the game show on Catholic Answers Live. We are just about to finish round two. Then we will find out who is going on to the final judgment. Our guests from Texas and Illinois are special celebrity guests, Carlo Broussard. I'm Cy Kellett, your game show host. We'll be right back right after this on Catholic Answers Live. This year, the Catholic Answers Conference turns to the parables, sermons, and conversations of Jesus Christ. Join special guests Scott and Kimberly Hahn, Dr. Ray Guarendi, and an all-star lineup of speakers September 26th through 29th. Spend time with your favorite Catholic Answers apologists and our special guests right here in beautiful San Diego. Seats are still available, but going fast. Use promo code EARLY to save $50 and register today at CatholicAnswersConference.com.
When it comes to Catholic teachings about Mary, there's one question we hear more than any other. Where is that in the Bible? The answer? Everywhere. In Bible Mary, the Mother of Jesus and the Word of God, Father John Weiss opens Scripture to reveal a Mary who has been hiding in plain sight. Order your copy of Bible Mary today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
When the resurrected Jesus appeared to disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until the breaking of the bread. The same is true today. In the Holy Eucharist, we really meet Jesus. In The Eucharist is Really Jesus, author Joe Heschmeyer explains how knowing Jesus in the Eucharist is the key to understanding all of Christian faith. Order your copy of The Eucharist is Really Jesus today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Welcome to a journey of faith, wisdom, and understanding. I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and I invite you to join me tomorrow for Beacon of Truth on most of these EWTN stations. Now back to Catholic Answers Live with Cy Kellett.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Both of our contestants, Chet in Texas and Chuck in Illinois, are actively involved in their parish preparing people for the sacraments. If that's something that you're interested in doing, now is a good time to ask your pastor about it, because the opportunities will be coming up, depending on the schedule at your parish, is maybe as soon as this summer to get involved in RCIA or sacramental preparation for the youth. I think that's what you did, Chuck, right? You were involved in sacramental confirmation for youth.
Yeah, I did it for 18 years at my parish, and it was a lot of fun. I learned a lot, and I didn't do it this last year. I just things got in the way, but I mean, I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun to do, and I learned a lot myself. I learned more than what I thought I taught. So
it
really did help.
No, there's a different kind of learning when you're the teacher of it. You have to learn the material in a different way. But I just think that that's so admirable. And I we were just talking at the break about people coming in to. But you said, Carla, you had 50 people at your parish came into the church this Easter?
Well, there were over 50 who were either catechumens, candidates, or coming into full communion. I don't know the breakdown of the numbers in each of those categories, but the group total was over 50 people.
That is, it's just wonderful. And I really do think people don't know that they can get involved in this walk with people as they journey towards full communion with the Catholic Church.
Amen.
All right. These are the last questions of round one. And so, Chet, here's your very last question of round one. Igbe Atenle. Which council formally defined Mary as the Mother of God? A, the Council of Ephesus, B, the Council of Trent, or C, the Second Vatican Council. Once again, which council formally declared Mary as the Mother of God? A, the Council of Ephesus, B, the Council of Trent, or C, the Second Vatican Council.
So I'm going to go with Ephesus.
No, don't go with Ephesus. You need to say to Carlo. All right, Chet. I'm gonna because you got the answer right. I'm gonna give you the points. All right, but only because you got the answer right. I'm still quite cross with you right now.
I'm actually quite happy.
I bet you are.
Fesuse, I guess is how you would do that. Fesuse.
Council of Ephesus. When was that, Carlo?
Yeah, 431. I actually mentioned it earlier. That's where the Council Fathers affirmed the one divine person in Jesus with two natures. And because Mary is the mother of Jesus, mothers give birth to persons. The subject of action of the birth is a person. Given that Jesus is the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the Council declared Mary to be the Theotokos, the God bearer, she who bore God, and one who bears an individual is the mother. And so you have Mother of God.
All right. Nicely done. You didn't do it quite the way I would have wanted, but nicely done getting the answer correct. Which council, Chuck, this is for you, your last question of round one. Which council attempted to reunite the Orthodox and Catholic churches? A, the Council of Florence, B, the Council of Trent, or C, the First Council of Constantinople. Once again, which council attempted to reunite the Orthodox and Catholic churches? A, the Council of Florence, B, the Council of Trent, or C, the First Council of Constantinople?
You know, I would think I would like to have Carlo give me the answer in Pig Latin, just so he has to work for the position there.
I don't have any favorites, but you're my favorite, Chuck.
All right, so all three are the Council of, right? So here is the answer in Pig Latin: Laurencefe.
he cut it short. The Council of
Florence.
Is that the Council of Florence, the Council of Trent, or the Council of Constantinople?
Council of Florence.
There you go. Yeah, that was in the 15th century, 1431 to 1449. You had the Bull of Union with the Greeks, papal bull issued by Pope Eugene IV. And it officially reunited the Catholic Church with the Eastern Orthodox Church, but it was not long-lasting. It temporarily ended the schism, however, it was repudiated by most Eastern bishops shortly thereafter. Mm-hmm. And the charge was led by one named Mark of Ephesus. He was a delegate of the Patriarch of Alexandria. He rejected the bull, and there were a host of other Eastern bishops who rallied around him in rejecting it. And of course, the schism would be reignited there and reissued, and you'd have it once again, which we're still living with today.
All right, the supercomputer has been calculating, and we now know the winner of rounds one and two. The winner will go on now to that person's final judgment, which is seven true or false questions. And Chet, you are moving on. That means, Chuck, we have to say thank you. What a wonderful company you are. Thank you very much for participating. And we have a huge pack of gifts. I'm going to include in the pack of gifts Michael Lofton's new book, Answering Orthodoxy, because of that last question he got right on the Council of Florence. But also, I just want to mention Michael Lofton's very fine book, Answering Orthodoxy. You'll get the full Carlo Broussard pack, which is Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church, Meeting the Protestant Challenge, Meeting the Protestant Response, Purgatory is for Real, Good News About the Afterlife for Those Who Aren't Perfect Yet. And the latest one, Carlo, is The New Relativism, right?
That's correct. Yep, you got it, buddy. Good job.
Subtitle is?
Thank you. It was great.
Unmasking the Philosophy of Today's Woke Moralists. Yes. So thank you, Chuck. That was awesome having you,
You're being so gracious, Chuck, and we're talking over you. I apologize for that.
That's fine. I'm used to it.
Are you?
Yeah, with all those kids.
That's why you like when the kids go home, huh?
I can tell them, be quiet, and it's all good for me.
I'll throw one more book in for you, Chuck. Would you like a book about Peter or a book about Jesus?
Book about Jesus, because I think that's the one that you wrote.
Oh, he gets them both because he knew the right answer. That's right. You get Pope Peter from Joe Heschmeyer and A Teacher of Strange Things, who Jesus was, what he taught, and why people still follow him. Chuck, I hope you enjoy all the gifts. Thank you. We really enjoyed our time with you.
Thank you, guys. God bless you.
Oh, you too. You too. All right. We're going on to Final Judgment. Some people look forward to Final Judgment. Some people not so sure about their Final Judgment. How do you feel about it, Chet?
I'm sorry. The audio and video is cutting in and out.
Oh, I hope this doesn't happen at your actual Final Judgment, Chet. All right. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to make sure that the audio video is working. And then we will come back for Chet's Final Judgment on Catholic Answers Live.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live. Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The most original Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
What have you always wanted to know about the Vatican? Well, I'm your Vatican Insider, and I answer that question when I bring you the news about the Pope, Vatican City, and I share insights and stories from a broad spectrum of church ministries.
Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis, Saturday night, 9 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend, a coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul? And that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come? At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It's the game show today, and we have reached that part of the game show called Final Judgment. And Chet in Houston prevailed with a perfect score. I usually acknowledge that because Chuck did really well, but it was tough to defeat a perfect score. So we're working with a perfect score so far. And now comes the true or false part. There are no, first of all, an important thing to know, Chet, is that there are no lifelines. You just got to answer true or false, and then we'll let you know whether you got that one right or wrong. And the way that it works is, for each of the seven questions, I will tell you a prize before I ask you the question. If you get the question right, you win that prize. If you get the question wrong, you don't win that prize. And so the best time to get questions wrong is when Joe Heschmeyer's books are up as prizes. Wait, that was wrong. I shouldn't have said that out loud. I apologize for that, Chet. And then at the very end, if you get all seven correct, what are we given as the big giant prize? Is it a Catholic Answers School of Apologetics course? He gets to pick a Catholic Answers School of Apologetics course, which you can find at schoolofapologetics.com. You can find the whole list of them, and there's a lot of great courses over there. All right, Chet, having explained all that, does it all make sense? Are we ready to go?
it's freezing up.
Oh, are you not hearing us, Chad?
It freezes up and then it restarts.
Oh, okay. We got to work. Carlo, I'm sorry. You and I are going to have to chat for a minute. And
I could hear Chet. I don't know if he can hear us.
No, he's got hear him. He's got his connection is freezing up on him. So we should have just made him say true or false without hearing the question, though. That would have been the way to do it. That would have made the game so much more exciting. Everyone hears the question except for Chet, and he's got to say true or false.
Hey, man, it would have been a good gambling opportunity. You got a 50-50 chance to take a swing, brother.
Yeah, take a swing. It's like I did on the SAT on all the questions.
I didn't even do that, man. I just made the little dots, made some figures.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, right. Here's a nice picture. Will this help me? It didn't. All right, Carlo, we'll get Chet here on the line in a quick second. Don't worry about that. We're going to get him back. And one of the fortunate things is, I don't know why I did, but I went really fast through the first part of the game show. So we've got plenty of time to get all the questions to Chet. We're not in any distress at all. Chet, do we have you back now?
Yes.
All right. And you can hear us okay?
Yes.
Okay. So fantastic. On that first question, is it true or false?
Okay, I just now connected, so I didn't hear the question.
That's too bad. I'm not repeating it, Chet. I'm not saying these questions over and over again. Pick true. No, I'm just kidding. We haven't done it yet. All right, so for the first question, you will be playing for Carlo's book, The New Relativism. And this is a true or false question. So if you get this one right, you get the book. True or false, Chet? Because we have a fallen nature, we have lost the gift of free will that allows individuals to choose between good and evil. Once again, Chet, true or false? Because we have a fallen nature, we have lost the gift of free will that allows individuals to choose between good and evil.
Yeah, that would be false.
You are correct on that.
Yes. Well, apparently Chet read the Catechism of the Catholic Church in paragraph 405. When it's talking about original sin, it's saying how original sin doesn't have the character of a personal fault. And then it goes on to define original sin as the deprivation of original holiness and justice. But human nature, it says, has not been totally corrupted. It's wounded in its natural powers, but not totally corrupted. And by natural powers, the Catechism's referring there to intellect and will primarily. So our free will, the ability to choose A and or over B, is not corrupted and totally lost. We still have free will, but it is wounded. So it is difficult, right? We find ourselves in a situation in our fallen human nature, which is one aspect of original sin, having a difficulty to choose what we know to be good. And of course, St. Paul famously expresses that, I think if my memory serves me correctly, in Romans 7, you know, we have a hard time choosing that which I know is right and such an easy time choosing that which I know is wrong. And so St. Paul's articulating our common human experience after the fall.
Nicely done, though. I didn't hear any delay on that, Chet. Apparently, Thomas Aquinas and the Dominicans are good teachers because you are killing it. Question number two. And I changed question number two. It was going to be true or false because Jesus is God and Mary is his mother. We must call Mary the mother of God. But I changed that because I realized as we were doing the quiz, we just had a question about Mary as mother of God at the Council of Ephesus. So would you have gotten that one right, though?
I believe so.
Oh, man. Shoot, you would have had a book there. I don't know why I'm mentioning any of this. This is a terrible choice on my part, because now what if you get this one wrong? All right, true or false, and you play for this one. You can play for Joe Heschmeyer's book, The Early Church Was the Catholic Church. True or false, Catholics are obligated to accept the teachings of Our Lady of Fatima. Once again, true or false, Catholics are obligated to accept the teachings of Our Lady of Fatima.
Yeah, that'd be false because it's a private revelation.
There you go. Absolutely. Yeah, we're only obligated to believe that which is a part of public revelation. So that's, you know, what is a part of the deposit of faith, sacred scripture, sacred tradition, which is presented to us as divinely revealed, and we have to believe. Private revelations even when approved by the church, is something that Catholics would be permitted to assent to the messages and use for private devotion and piety, but one would not be obliged. So if a Catholic would be uncomfortable with assenting to private messages of private revelations like Our Lady of Fatima, they would not be under the penalty of the guilt of mortal sin, say. So good job, Chet.
Nice going, Chet. Still perfect. I just realized that you're preparing people in the RCIA. I'm going to try to focus my gifts towards that, towards things that might be useful. And I think Jimmy Akin's A Daily Defense, 365 days plus one to becoming a better apologist, would be very helpful in answering people's questions in the RCIA. So that's what you're playing for question number three. True or false, Chet? The Catholic Church teaches the principle that a community of a higher order should not interfere in the internal life of a community of a lower order. Once again, true or false, Chet? Mm-hmm. The Catholic Church teaches the principle that a community of a higher order should not interfere in the internal life of a community of a lower order.
I'm going to say that's false because that would be against a hierarchy, and I think that'd be opposite of subsidiarity.
Well, you had the right word. Yeah, subsidiarity, and it's actually true. So the Catechism of the Catholic Church in paragraph 1883, Cy took it directly from that paragraph where it talks about the principle of subsidiarity, according to which, quote, a community of a higher order should not interfere in the internal life of a community of a lower order, depriving the latter of its functions, but rather should support it in the case of need and help to coordinate its activity with the activities of the rest of society. So the higher order should not interfere with the internal life or the lower order, at least when the lower order is capable and able to order properly its own internal life.
Yeah.
All right, on we go. Question number four, I think another one that would be good for the RCIA is Carlo's book, Purgatory is for Real. I bet lots of RCIA questions about purgatory. Purgatory is for real. Good news about the afterlife for those who aren't perfect yet. This is question number four. True or false, Chet, the second book of Maccabees is the inspired word of God. Once again, true or false, the second book of Maccabees is the inspired word of God.
That would be true.
That wasn't very hard. You didn't struggle over that at all.
Yeah,
you should have asked if the third book of Maccabees.
There you go.
Right. Well, then you'd have a problem with the Coptic church. Carlo?
Yeah. Council of Trent definitively and infallibly defined the list of books to be inspired at the Council of Trent. And second book of Maccabees was included within the Old Testament canon. So it's part of infallible teaching of the church.
All right, let's go to question number five. And this one, you know what? What's some on the book that Father Sebastian wrote on the parables and sayings of Jesus? Secrets of Heaven. Yeah, that would be a good one for RCIA people too. And it's just a beautiful book. You'll love it, Chet, if you haven't read it yet. It's a beautiful book. So here's question number five. True or false, when we're in heaven, we'll no longer be members of the Catholic Church. Once again, true or false, when we're in heaven, we'll no longer be members of the Catholic Church.
Pretty much false.
Pretty much totally false. Carlo?
Yep, absolutely, yep. In fact, not only are they still members, the blessed in heaven, still members of the church, i.e. the mystical body of Christ, but perfected and completed members of the mystical body of Christ because they no longer have to deal with sin and the temptations of sin. And St. Paul teaches us this in Romans 8, verses 35 and 39, where he says how death does not separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And of course, it's the love of God poured within our hearts, Romans 5:5, that puts us in Christ, making us members of the mystical body of Christ, which is given to us instrumentally, ordinarily, initially, through the sacrament of baptism.
Chet, nice going. Let's see. Another book that would be good for RCIA, Carlo. What would be a good one that we could give him for?
You know, Jimmy Akin's Teaching with Authority.
Oh, Teaching with Authority.
Book. Because a lot of people coming into the church have a lot of questions about, well, what about this teaching of the Pope? And what about this teaching in the past? And
wonderful.
You know, there seems to be differences. And how do we reconcile all of that?
Okay.
Jimmy's book did a great job with that.
All right, let's do Jimmy's book, Teaching with Authority, for question number 6. True or false, Chet? True or false? The church recognizes only 2 creeds, the Nicene and Apostles' creeds. Once again, true or false? The church recognizes only 2 creeds, the Nicene and Apostles' creeds.
That's tough because I don't know if there's variations of the creed in the Eastern churches.
Oh, that's a good point, yeah.
And then there was the Nicene Creed is something like the Nicene-Constantinople Creed. I'm not sure. It's not Constantinople. It was.
Yeah.
There was an adjustment. So the original Nicene Creed was changed. So based on that, I'm going to say false because the original Nicene Creed was attitude. And it's the one we say at Mass is the Nicene-something creed. It's not Constantinople. It's something else.
Well, I'll tell you what, sometimes...
I'm taking a risk here.
I know you're taking a risk, but sometimes you just hear a person reason their way into the wrong answer, and sometimes you just hear a person...
I did a good job at that.
No, and you did, but you reasoned your way into the right answer. Nicely done.
Oh, wow.
The church has a whole bunch of creeds. Carlo?
Wow.
Yeah, the Athanasian Creed would be one. That is very ancient and ascribed to. And then you also have the credo of Pope St. Paul VI in 1968, where he gave a creed of sort, a profession of faith, and issued it. And so, yeah, there are multiple creeds.
And you were right about the Constantinopolitan Creed. It's hard to say, but you were correct. It was Constantinople. That was kind of fun, though. I watched you reason your way to it, and you got it quite right. So there you go. You get that book. And let's see. How about the early church? Did we do the early church? Was the Catholic Church already? We did it already? Oh, we did it already? Okay. How about the Eucharist is really Jesus? I know I'm stuck on Joe, but these are really good books. I'll tell you what, let's play for 2 books because I really want the RCIA people to have these. The Bible is a Catholic book by Jimmy Akin, and the Early Church was the Catholic. No, and the Eucharist is Really Jesus by Joe Heschmeyer. So if you get this one right, you get both of those books. True or false?
Wow.
Chet, true or false, Jesus was not capable of sin. True or false, Jesus was not capable of sin.
Capable. Key word there is capable.
Yes.
And I would say that it's true, he was not capable of sin.
I love it. Go ahead, Carlo.
And you would be correct, Chet. Good job, my friend. It's not just that he factually didn't sin. Like with regards to the Blessed Virgin Mary, she didn't sin, but it was just a factual reality.
Right.
She did have the capability or the possibility to sin, but our Lord, incapable of sin. And here's the distinction with the blessed. The blessed in heaven are incapable of sinning as well, but they are incapable of sinning in virtue of the grace given to them, namely the beatific vision. Our Lord is incapable of sinning because the subject of action is the second person of the Blessed Trinity, God, who is metaphysically absolutely incapable of sinning in principle.
Yeah.
Nicely done. That was fun to have you as a contestant. It was fun to hear you reason the things out and come up with so many right answers. That was an extraordinary effort. Congratulations on all your wins, Chet.
Well, thank you very much. This was really enjoyable. And I want to throw in some last-minute tidbit about me is that we did spend 15 years in West Texas. And so we went to the same parish as Lynn Oswald, who started the Our Lady of Guadalupe Network.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Well, thanks for sharing it. And I'll tell you what, I want to add the full, the whole Carlo Broussard pack, give him the whole pack of all of Carlo's books. And throw in a daily defense because I think he should have that. If you're going to do RCIA, that's a perfect book for an RCIA teacher to have. Chet, thank you very much. Carlo, it's always a great pleasure. Thanks so much for being here and doing this with us today.
You're welcome, Si. Thanks for having me, my friend. It's always a joy.
That will bring this to an end. It's fun to do the game show. I hope you got to play along at home. I'll invite you again September 26th through 29th. That's our big annual conference, and we're going to do it on the parables and sayings of Jesus. And Scott Hahn will be there. Check it out at CatholicAnswersConference.com. See you next time, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.